824 at WFMD. Bob and Ryan on the phone with us is Councilman Phil Dacey. Is he there, Ryan?
Yeah, the only council member with some common sense in Frederick County. How are you, Phil?
Good. I'm doing well.
Yeah, so tonight there's going to be a vote, and I don't know. I mean, talking to you off air, I'm not very optimistic about the chances for the council to cut taxes because you've been trying to do this for years, but to no avail. So what's at stake tonight as you meet at about 5 o'clock at Winchester Hall?
Well, tonight we've got the property tax rate we'll be voting on. And so assessed property assessments have gone up over the last 2 years and pretty dramatically in Frederick County. I mean, it's a good place to live, Frederick County. The demand has gone crazy for homes here, and property values have gone way up 50, 60, 70% over the last 2 years. So, but the problem with that is the fact that if we keep the tax rate the same, people are going to, all that happens is the property tax rate is multiplied by the supposed value of your home. And so if we keep the tax rate the same and your house skyrockets in value on paper, you're going to be paying a lot more in taxes. So that means people are paying more every month for their mortgage, for their rent, because we haven't taken action to help provide some relief to the general taxpayers that really have generated quite a surplus for Frederick County over the last 2 years.
What is Phil? What is the current tax rate? It's like $1.70.
$1.06. Yeah, $1.06, and it stayed the same. And so some people say, "Well, the taxes haven't gone up," but the problem is the value of your home has gone up by 50% in the last 2 years in most cases, at least. And so, you know, we do need to take some action on that property tax rate to give people some kind of relief. And here, over the last 2 years, Frederick County has had huge surpluses. So the problem with the way that we budget here in Frederick County is we don't, they budget with the amount of revenue they have. So they don't look at, well, here's what we need to do next year. We need to buy a few cars or we need to buy a couple dump trucks. What they do is say, how much money is coming in, you know, to Frederick County coffers? We'll spend it all. So the general taxpayer, even though we had $70 million surplus last year, the general taxpayer didn't get any relief. We have a $50-plus million surplus this year, at least. They haven't fully announced the amount yet, but at least $50 million. So by my calculation, that's $120 million that taxpayers have overpaid in the last 2 years, and yet there hasn't been one dime of tax relief for the average taxpayer. So my view, we need to give some of the surplus back to the Frederick County residents that have generated it and provide some tax relief for people that are going to be seeing these outrageous property tax bills over the next few years.
Oh, but why, Phil? There's so many vacant buildings for $30 million that we can buy with our surplus.
Yeah, I mean, people in county government have looked at it like, hey, this is great. We can spend this additional money. Just the other night we appropriated $30 million extra dollars because that wasn't in the budget because the revenue estimates are so high. But not included in that $30 million was any kind of general tax relief. There was no tax relief included in that $30 million.
Has anybody told the county government that it's not their money to spend? I mean, the county government doesn't have any money. This is taxpayer money that they're spending. And again, you know, we talked about it on the Four State Focus show a few months ago as we talked to Phil Dacey. That Oak Street property is sitting vacant. The county government paid $30 million for it, and it needs a $10 million roof. I mean, what's the future for purchases like that?
Yeah, I mean, this year we appropriated almost $8 million for that building, just $8 million additional dollars for that building to try and start the renovation. It is empty right now. It's currently empty, and it has been. You'll be happy to know we also hired additional public works staff to kind of take care of the building while it sits vacant. So it is.
It'd be nice, Phil, if we moved all the people out of Winchester Hall over to Oak Street, sell Winchester Hall, and it make it a little more accessible for people to get into Winchester Hall. But I know that's not going to happen. I want to go back to the tax rate real quick here. It's at $1.06. And we always hear, this is the mantra that we hear, well, we're not raising your taxes because the tax rate is the same. So would it be more beneficial is to adjust the assessments down or the tax rate down?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. That is the old debate, is we're not raising your taxes. It's still $1.06. It was $1.06 last year. It was $1.06 the year before. But the problem is the way the assessments are done is through the state. And so the state goes around and kind of assesses everybody's property and says, your house isn't worth $300,000 this year. It's worth $400,000. So you're paying taxes on an extra $100,000. If your house goes up $100,000 in a year, which many properties did in value, or at least assessed value, then you're going to be paying extra taxes on that $100,000 that, you know, you don't have sitting in your bank account. That's the other thing. It's not like, you know, the money is actually in your bank account sitting there. It's just sitting on paper. So right now your house looks like it maybe it's worth $400,000, but most people aren't moving this year or next year, and so they'll never even realize that.
You know,
that,
Phil, I hear council members are concerned about affordable housing in Frederick, but how can housing be affordable when they keep raising taxes? It's more expensive to live here than ever. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the concern with the council about affordable housing? Because that is a famous talking point for a lot of the leftists in this city and in this county. Oh, we don't have affordable housing. Well, then stop raising taxes.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I've been saying for 4 years, the amount of money that you have to pay in taxes and fees and, you know, recreation taxes, before you even break ground on a house, or before you know, you step foot through the door, it's staggering. And we do more and more every year to add to that total by requiring homes to be built with things like electric vehicle chargers, which could run $1,000 or $1,500 before you even, you may not even own an electric vehicle, but we're going to require you to have the infrastructure in place to have an electric vehicle. We do things like raise the recordation tax. We raise impact fees. So, I mean, some of those numbers are pretty staggering. I mean, you're not talking small numbers. You're talking, you know, before you break ground on a home, it's a good $30,000 to $50,000 in some places, in just taxes alone, and everything that we do that requires builders and makes it more expensive for people to build and require and makes it more expensive for people to buy homes. It just drives up the cost of your existing home. So if you have to pay $30,000 or $50,000 in taxes before you even, you know, step through your door of your new home, then that's going to push up the cost of existing homes, which then also pushes up the cost of the taxes that you have to pay, and exacerbates the affordable housing problem. So people say they want affordable housing, but they really want subsidized housing. They want the taxes. They want the taxpayers to subsidize the cost of housing rather than do things to actually lower the price of housing and make housing, you know, through the market more affordable.
Will the council take a public comment today on this before you vote? And then quickly, because we got to go because our time is up. And what do you, I mean, let's be honest, what do you think the vote will be at the end of the night?
Well, we do have, you can take public comment in the beginning of the meeting. And you can also email, you know, a good way, an easy thing to do is just email your county council members, and you can email actually the whole council and just let them know of your concern about taxes. I mean, that's a very simple thing to do. It's very easy. I do think, I have not been successful in the past 3 years at being able to reduce this tax rate. And I don't see that in an election year here, there's going to be much of an appetite to reduce the tax rate because, you know, we have spent 10% more than we did last year in this year's budget. So,
Hey, Phil, I got to run. Thank you so much for checking in with us. And if people want to, is this meeting virtual? I'm so confused as to whether it's virtual or face to face nowadays.
It is in person, but we do have virtual options.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like we're not turning back from that. Phil Dacey, thank you for holding the line Always appreciate the conversation. We'll be watching tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, 8:34 at WFMD. It is 8:42 at WFMD. Ryan Hedrick, Bob Miller with you on the Morning News Express, Tuesday, May 17, 2022. And, of course, 3 days ago, a crazed gunman who is an alleged white supremacist walked into a Tops Market on Jefferson in the city of Buffalo and opened fire, killing 10 people. He's trying to still make sense of that. Joe Biden is on his way to Buffalo right now, and on the line we have Justin Gould, our New York correspondent from WNYNewsNow.com, on the line covering the situation. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ryan and Bob.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
You know, we're hanging in here in Western New York. This has been a really a tough last couple of days here. As the community is mourning following this horrible massacre. Right now, I'm at the corner of Jefferson Avenue and Laurel Street, just kitty quarter to this Tops Friendly Market. It's the only supermarket in this neighborhood, a very multicultural neighborhood here in the city of Buffalo, as the scene is set for President Joe Biden and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, to visit this supermarket-turned-crime scene later this morning and this afternoon. The influx of national media now here as the Secret Service actually getting ready to perform a security check ahead of the president's visit. Once he visits with law enforcement and investigators here on scene at the supermarket, he's then set to speak this afternoon at a nearby community center at 1 o'clock after speaking and spending time privately with the victims and family members of the victims of this horrible shooting. The president then expected to make remarks before departing for Washington later this afternoon.
Justin, you've been on the ground. I'm sure you've talked to people. Are people, I hate to use the word excited, but are they glad that the president's coming up, or are you hearing people saying, you know, he's using this to politicize an event? What are you hearing from the people who actually are from Buffalo?
Yeah, and there's a lot of mixed emotions. I think a lot of people, Bob, are still in shock at this hour, where they're still reeling from the news Saturday that this happened in their neighborhood. And that's a story that's transcending, I think, through all of this region as well, and through New York State. And one of the things that touched me was New York Governor Kathy Hochul speaking Monday. She said that she would like this to be the last mass shooting in the nation. But we've heard that over and over, time and time again, whether there would actually be action taken and whether or not that would actually lead to something still remains unclear. But nevertheless, as we watch here in Buffalo and the president, it seems like later today he's expected to maybe roll out some sort of action plan. But as we know, Bob and Ryan, in the past, there's been a lot of talk, but there hasn't been any real action, especially at the federal level.
It is 8:45 on WFMD. We're listening to a special news correspondent, Justin Gould, from WNY News Now and WNYNewsNow.com, reporting live from Buffalo, where President Joe Biden is about to meet with investigators and later make remarks about the horrible tragedy that claimed the lives of 10 victims at a Tops Market on Saturday. Justin, New York is one of the most restrictive states when it comes to gun laws. In fact, Andrew Cuomo implemented the SAFE Act, which is very, very restrictive. But still, gun crime is rampant, especially in Buffalo. Justin, are you hearing from residents that think that more gun control in New York is necessary?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it depends on who you talk to, right? Where there's a lot of people here in Buffalo who especially this morning, I was talking to a woman who was walking around in the neighborhood here. You know, she said, we have red flag laws. We have things in place to prevent something like this from happening. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work. And that's the big question here, is whether or not they need to implement something new or revisit what they have on the books here. New York is a very restrictive state when it comes to guns. They have measures in place, but clearly this 18-year-old man was able to get his hands on weapons even after making threats to his high school, and then targeting this Tops, coming here, scouting it out months before, then returning to the scene, and then carrying out these senseless acts of violence. So that's the big question. That's the million-dollar question, I think, is what's next? And that I don't know if anyone has the answer at this point.